went up to speed, and also might be of interest to individuals in the session or the section on aging and public health as well. And we've got our technical issues resolved. So first, I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, now that's out of the way. First, I want to talk a little bit about some stats and the prevalence of vision loss. With the aging of the population, the number of Americans with major eye diseases is increasing, and vision loss is becoming a major public health concern. A 2020 report co-sponsored by the National Institutes of Health estimates that nearly 3 million people are currently living with low vision, and most of these individuals are 65 or older. This slide, I have a bar graph, kind of illustrates the prevalence and the number of people with vision loss in the United States. The number is projected to reach 5 million by 2030, when the last of the baby boomers will turn 65, and by 2050, it's estimated that nearly 9 million Americans will be living with vision loss. Okay, a little moving on to the definition of low vision, and have a screenshot here from a patient education page from the National Institutes of Health and the National Eye Institute. And the National Eye Institute takes a functional definition when they define low vision. They've moved away from a clinical definition, and they currently define low vision as a visual impairment that is not corrected by standard glasses, contacts, medication, or surgery, and it can interfere with a person's ability to perform everyday activities. There are a number of causes of low vision. The most common ones include eye diseases and health disorders, eye injuries and birth defects. Some of the most common eye diseases that cause visual impairment are age-related macular degeneration, cataract, diabetic retinopathy, and glaucoma. And on the screen, I have a screenshot of what a scene appears to someone with advanced age-related macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, and glaucoma. Moving on now, there are a number of signs of low vision. The biggest one is when everyday symptoms become difficult to do. For example, a person might have difficulty recognizing the faces of family and friends, doing things that require while seeing up close, such as reading, cooking, and sewing, shopping or reading the prices and labels on food items, selecting matching clothes and the color of clothes, watching TV, writing, or even getting around the neighborhood. The impact, vision loss can have a very real impact on people's mental health, and it may lead to feelings of anxiety, helplessness, depression, and disbelief. And as professionals, it's important for us to remind people that there is hope, and there are numerous vision rehabilitation services and devices that are available for people. And the best way to get someone assistance is to refer them to vision rehabilitation services. So if someone has vision rehabilitation, there are a number of things they can do. The most important thing is they should visit an eye care professional who can diagnose their vision loss and refer them to a specialist in low vision so they can receive vision rehabilitation services. A specialist in low vision is the cornerstone of the vision rehabilitation team. This professional can prescribe treatment options, including low vision devices, and help identify other vision rehabilitation resources. On the patient's first visit to a specialist, they will have their general health and eye history evaluated, as well as their functions of daily living related to vision, and the specialist will check their visual acuity and other visual functions. Then the professional will work with a team of vision rehabilitation specialists to help them receive the services they need. There's a variety of vision rehabilitation services out there, and they're provided by a team of professionals, and that's something that we like to emphasize, that it's not just one professional working with a person. It's a team, which usually includes the patient, the primary eye care professional, and the specialist in low vision. Then there are a variety of other professionals that help, such as occupational therapists, orientation and mobility specialists, certified low vision therapists, and counselors. then there are a variety of devices that can help people, and it's important to remember that one device might not be a fix-all. The devices are often situational, and it depends on your needs and what you're trying to do at the time. Some devices, which I have pictured up here, include glasses, telescopic lenses, video magnifiers, handheld magnifiers, and special software for computers. One of the biggest questions we run into is how can people pay for their services, especially if they're on a fixed or limited income. And Medicare may actually cover part or all of a patient's occupational therapy for vision rehabilitation, but the therapy must be ordered by a doctor and provided by a Medicare-approved provider. Unfortunately, there is no single private insurance plan or public program at the time that will pay for all types of assistive technology, but there, Medicare Part B will cover up to 80% of the cost of assistive technology if the item meets the definition of durable medical equipment, and that definition is available on their website if you would like more information. A little bit more information on paying for services. If a person is eligible, it's recommended that they contact the Department of Veterans Affairs. Many professionals consider the VA to have a model payment system for assistive technology, as they order so much of it. They can get it out to their patients really quickly. Depending what state you live in, some state-run Medicaid or Medicare programs may also pay for some assistive technology. There's also subsidiary programs that may help pay for the cost, and employers through the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Americans with Disabilities Amendment Act are required to provide reasonable accommodations to both job applicants and employees. A little bit of information about the National Eye Health Education Program. This program was designed by the National Eye Institute to make vision a health priority by translating eye and vision research into public and professional education programs. And the NEHEP program maintains a low vision education program. And the goal of this program is to create awareness among children and adults with visual impairment and their families and friends about the available low vision rehabilitation services. And we also work to educate professionals about the benefits of vision rehabilitation and encourage referrals to specialists. The NEHEP program consists of more than 60 public and private national level organizations, and the National Eye Institute works with them to educate the public about vision rehabilitation and low vision. The NEHEP has a variety of resources to help educate patients. Here you see some listed. We have the Living with Low Vision consumer booklet and DVD, a companion DVD for professionals, as well as a toolkit called See Well for a Lifetime, which is for older adults. Then we have a couple of websites. And the cornerstone of our educational program is the Living with Low Vision consumer booklet and DVD, which we just recently produced, and it's designed to help people with vision loss learn where they can get help and learn about vision rehabilitation. We have a companion version for professionals that has an introduction video that really stresses the importance of referrals, as we've noted that that can sometimes be a barrier, as patients who are seeing their primary ophthalmologist or ophthalmologist don't often get referred. Here you'll see a screenshot of the companion booklet we developed for the DVD, and we actually developed this. We developed the booklet, and it was screened among a variety of professionals and consumers with low vision, and we received some great feedback that which helped us revise the videos. For instance, our original video, we had highlighted several individuals with low vision and some with no vision, and we received feedback that those two populations should not be included on the same video. If for someone with low vision, it was felt that they might not be able to identify specifically with the individuals with low vision. So now we're working to get our individuals with no vision up on the website as well, and we'll have more information on that shortly. We also reduced the length of some of the segments, added some additional footage of people using video and handheld magnifiers, and added an audio description to the video. The final booklet was very well received by the public, and I think we've went through half our inventory in the past 6 months. Moving down here, just a few more resources. For those of you who work with older adults, there we have a toolkit designed for community educators. And Module 3 of this resource focuses specifically on low vision, and that's available for free at the National Eye Institute website. If you go to nei.nih.gov/CWell toolkit, you can find that. We also have a low vision education website we've developed for consumers, where we have online versions of the videos on the DVD we produced. NEHEP maintains a site for professionals to get information that they can distribute onto consumers. And here you will find some videos like the one I mentioned for professionals about the importance of referrals. If you're interested in more information, I encourage you to sign up for our Outlook newsletter, which provides quarterly updates on all the activities NEI and NEHEP is doing in the area of vision loss and other topics. And brings me to the last slide here. We have several websites, and if you would like, I can email those to you, and also the contact information. You can contact Neil Amary Risch at amamaryn@nei.nih.gov, and you can also contact the NEI at 301-496-5248. Thank you. Any questions?